me tell you what I'm not going to do this morning. And then I shall tell you what I am going to do. What I'm not going to do, I am not going to preach a long sermon. Okay, boys and girls? But what I'm going to do, I am going to explain to you Matthew chapter 2. The chapter that was read to us. And we are going to finish on the hour. I mean that. Now, if I go beyond the hour, you mustn't believe a single thing I have said. Is that a bargain? Okay, let us begin. Let us turn to Matthew chapter 2. And what I want to do from Matthew chapter 2 is to select three things, and then a fourth thing will be something resulting out of it. The chapter was read. We are going to look at the wise men, the crafty king, the royal child, and the Christian's hope. Okay? The wise men, the crafty king, the royal child, and the Christian's hope. Let us take firstly then, the wise men. We are told in verse 1, look at the language of verse 1. Now, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea, in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem. Now, their ID. Who were they? Where were they from? We are told they came from the east. Was it the Middle East? Was it the Far East? We just don't know. But they were there. They came. But the thing that is important is this: the reason for their coming. That is the important thing. The reason or reasons for their coming or for their visit. And the first reason was this. They were given supernatural information. They were given supernatural information. Look at the supernatural information they were given in verse 2. Look at the language. When they arrive in Jerusalem, they said, "Where is he who is born King of the Jews?" Look at this. "For we have seen his star in the east." That is important. An unusual star. That's not our job to go into it, but that was supernatural. Furthermore, they were religiously motivated. And their religious motivation is clearly opened up for us. Look at what they said in the language again of verse 2. They said this: "We have seen his star in the east," look at the language, "and have come to worship him." You see that? That's the whole purpose for their coming. It was not to see him. It was to worship him. What a wonderful thing. Furthermore, their appearance or their presence created a sensation in Jerusalem. So much so, the king was scared. And every citizen in Jerusalem was scared. They were troubled. They were petrified. They were terrified. Look at how Matthew puts it for us. Remember, Matthew is a Jew. And look at what he tells us in verse 3. When Herod, that is King Herod the king, heard these things, look at this, he was troubled. And all Jerusalem with him. Now we need to ask, well, why was Herod disturbed? Why was he so frightened? Why was he so scared? Ah, he had no right to be on a throne in Jerusalem. But why were the people scared? They knew Herod was a vicious murderer. He would do anything to preserve what he called his kingdom. And they knew, if a king is born, then that is it for them. Then Herod set up a royal inquiry. And the findings were published. Look at what we are told. Look at verses 4 and 6. Look at the language, the royal inquiry. And when he had heard, that is Herod, and when he had gathered all the chief priests, look at the language, and scribes of the people together, he inquired of them where the Christ was to be born. And so they said to him, in Bethlehem. And they gave him the official record of God in the Old Testament. They say, yes, it is written here, here, and God cannot lie, Your Majesty. God predicted in the book of Micah exactly where his son was going to be born, the real king. So she went to visit, and that's why the wise men were there. So that's enough for the wise men. Let us move on. Let us see the crafty king. Let us look at the crafty king. Now, Herod was so crafty. He decided he would have a secret palais. A palais, boys and girls, is a chat. It's a little conference. We chat together in the secret. Let us discuss something you do not want anybody else to know. So you meet with a palais, with a little chat with your friends, and you discuss it. So that's what Herod did. He had a secret palais with them. Look at what we are told in verse 7. When he had secretly called the wise men, determined from them what time the star appeared. You see, he doesn't want anything to go out. And he would be on the best of his behavior. But he had something in mind. He premeditated the murder of the Son of God. Look at his premeditation. Look at verse 8. Look at what he did. When he sent the men back to go and look for the child, he said to them, he sent them to Bethlehem and said, look at this language, go. Search diligently or carefully for the young child, and when you have found him, bring back word to me. Ah, why? That I may come and worship him also. Oh, you see how foxy Herod is? He's as crafty as the devil. He's as foxy as the devil. He's a snake in the grass. He's just waiting to pounce. See his craftiness? Okay. Then divine guidance was given to the wise men again, which created in them an unspeakable joy. Because if the king doesn't know, how are they going to find out? They are in the land of the Jews. They are in Jerusalem. But where? So as soon as they left the palace, they looked up. Here is the star. They were overjoyed. And the star took them to the exact place. Look at verses 9 and 10. And when they had heard the king, they departed, and behold, the star which they had seen in the east went before them, till it came and stood over where the young child was. And when they saw the star, they rejoiced. It wasn't a kind of great. It was exceeding. They jumped. They were excited. They were full of life. So when you open your present, boys and girls, and there is something you wanted, you are excited. Look. What did you get, Harry? What did you get? You are excited. We are excited people. Mind you, some people behave as though they have no emotion. They can never be excited. Never mind them. But here were these men. They were excited. But their desire was not yet fulfilled. But soon their desires were fulfilled as their obedience vindicated it. When they saw the star, look at what happened. Look at the language of verse 11. And when they had come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary, his mother. And look at what they did. They fell down and worshipped him. And look at how they honored him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented him gifts, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. See that? These men were absolutely happy. Then God did something wonderful. He frustrated the crafty king. He frustrated the crafty king in this way. He sent the wise men away when they saw the child. Look at what happened. Verse 12. Then, being divinely warned in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed to their own country another way. They took another route. See? And Herod, in his frustration and in his madness, these guys, what have they done to me? What have they done to me? What have they done to me? Every child in Bethlehem is going to pay for it. He's mad. He's furious. The devil is in him. He's demon-possessed. He's going to turn all his guns on them. They will be done. So what did he do? Look at what he did in verse 16. The massacre of the innocent, that is called. Look at what we are told in verse 16. Then Herod, when he saw that he was deceived by the wise men, was, look at the language, exceedingly angry. And he sent forth and put to death all the male children who were in Bethlehem and in all its districts from 2 years old and under, according to the time which they had determined from the wise men. God deflated the king. God threw him flat on his face. God could have killed him, but not yet. No, I'm going to humiliate him. The Savior of the world has come, yes, and he doesn't. God said, I'm going to rub his nose in the ground. And in his bitterness against God, against Christ, against the wise men, he determined he was going to take vengeance. And that's what he did. Ah, so that takes us to our third point. We have seen the wise men, the crafty king, now the royal child. Joseph was given a fantastic privilege, an instruction. God gave him the instruction and the privilege to keep the baby Jesus very, very safe. Look at what happened in verse 13. And when they had departed, that is the wise men, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream, saying, arise, take the young child and his mother and flee to Egypt and stay there until I bring you word. This is the reason, this is my reason, for Herod will seek the young child to destroy him. See that? Then, not Joseph's prompt obedience. Joseph was prompt in his obedience. He got up. Mary, get up. We must leave. Where? God has said we must go to Egypt because Herod will kill the child. No noise. Very secretly. The child was taken, wrapped up. They went out, put their belonging at the boot of the car. Now, the boot of the car in those days was the backside of a donkey. So they put their belongings there, and they shut the door quietly, and they went. People would get up in the morning and say, well, where are the Josephs? Oh, well, people would say, well, they have had a long night. She must have had a bad night. Probably the child cried all night, and poor lady, she is exhausted. She can't get up. But time went. But there was no one. So when they opened, probably when they opened the door, no Mary, no Joseph, no baby Jesus. But Joseph was prompt in his obedience. So they went to Egypt. And when Herod was dead, look at what we are told in verse 19. But when Herod was dead, Joseph was instructed, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared in a dream to Joseph in Egypt, saying, arise, take the young child and his mother and go to the land of Israel. Why? For those who sought the young child's life are dead. Child is alive. The king is dead. When Joseph got back to Israel, he was faced with another problem. As like produces like, as father, as son, look at what happened in verse 22. But when he heard that Archelaus was reigning over Judea instead of his father Herod, he was afraid to go there, and being warned by God in a dream, he turned aside into Galilee. And there his fear was removed, and there Jesus settled, and we find the overarching umbrella, we would call the absolute sovereignty of God. That is, boys and girls, God is in control over everything that takes place. And look at the language in verse 23. And he came and dwelt in the city called Nazareth. Why? That it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophets, he shall be called a Nazarene. See that? All this, there's quite a lot there. I've just given you a crumble of the passage. So as you go home, you sit at table, you sit after lunch, debate it, discuss it among yourselves, and try to gain the marrow out of that divinity. Okay? So that's the wise man, the crafty king, the royal child, and for us as Christians, our hope. Think of it. To give us hope, to save us, God gave us his only begotten son. What a privileged people we Christian people are. What an honorable people. What a distinguished people. What a precious people. Brethren, let us value our Savior and let us worship him and serve him and not to be ashamed of him in teaching our sons and our daughters and our grandchildren over and over again about Jesus. Wherever God has placed us, whatever our calling, whatever our neighborhood, whatever our situation, whatever opportunity he has given to us, don't be afraid. Pray that God would give us little opportunity, a seed here, a seed there, a seed there. And like Joseph, let us obey promptly. Let us obey carefully. And like Joseph, let us do all in our power to preserve the honor, the glory, the praise of the Lord Jesus. And as a congregation, this must be our ambition, is to preserve the honor, the glory of the Lord Jesus, and to submit to his word in all that he teaches us. Now, for those of you who are not believers, it is an honor and a privilege for you to be present this morning so you can hear about the Savior God sent so that you might be saved. That's why God sent him, that you might be saved. Saved from your sin, saved from destruction, and saved to be taken into heaven to live forever and ever with him. And yet saved on earth to be light and salt to your friends, to your colleagues, to your family, to your parents, to your society, wherever God has placed you, because now they can see the change in you. So I say, there is an invitation for you to come and to taste and see that the Lord is good. And the Bible says, happy is the man, happy is the woman, happy is the boy, happy is the girl who truly trusts him.